Very good, and welcome to the Fed Report technical market call for July 25th, 2019. We are in what they call the dog days of summer, so if you hear my dog barking, I apologize. I'm dog sitting this morning. Let's get right into it. I know people got some things they want to do. On the stock market, we really have no change from what we have been writing. We think there's a possibility of a sharp drop. We do note that the spider has gotten to the upside targets that we've been looking for, but we have to also note that many of the intermediate-term indicators are looking much better than we thought they would when we got up here. So while we're still set up for a sharp pullback in the market, we think that it will be relatively short-lived. And what we're looking for actually is to see some strength in the small cap area. And yesterday was a particularly good day in small cap. We could very well start to see that as recession fears fade away. Now, obviously, everyone is trying to focus on the Fed and whether they're going to cut and what they're going to do on Monday or Tuesday, the 31st, whenever the 31st is, whenever the press conference is. What we will say is, first of all, you know, flip a coin. We have no idea what they're going to say or do, for sure. But looking at the market technicals, it's very possible that whatever they say or do, good or bad or indifferent, will spark some sort of a short-term market pullback. We don't think that that's going to be horribly serious. As I've mentioned, we've taken a couple of steps that we normally take personally when we get up in our target range. You know, we've advocated for traders to sell some positions. We've taken some long-term gains. And we'll just have to see how all that goes. But as we've said, the market is actually acting well. We think the bond market might be able to come down there. But the important thing to remember on the bond market for us is our accumulation model on bonds is still pretty strong. It's not suggesting that rates are going to go up and up and up, put it that way. We could see a bit of a rate rise on the Fed news. We expect to see that, actually. But we're not concerned. We certainly wouldn't be selling our alternatives. We've already mentioned that some bond profit taking probably is not a bad idea. But we're not super concerned there. Those are actually trading pretty well also, and the accumulation model is looking decent. In terms of the commodities, oil is getting close to the end of the seasonal period. It's not there yet. The seasonal period ends really mid-August. So we're watching XLE. We're watching PSCE, which we recommended the trading buy on for some people. And the trading buy has basically, you know, we'd have to grade that a D at best. We recommended it a little bit lower a few weeks ago, but we're only up like a quarter on the trade. People that are in that trade as a trade should probably think about dumping that, as it really hasn't worked, and we're within a few weeks of oil entering another weak period. Honestly, we're surprised with some of the Iranian tension and stuff of that nature that oil is not doing better. Very often when oil doesn't do well on something like the Iranian news and some of the other problems, what you see is a big move in the opposite direction, i.e. down, when you get a sell signal. So, again, caution there. And be ready to take some defensive action. In terms of the metals, we've had some questions on gold and silver. We ran the accumulation models on gold and silver last week. They are not terrible, but they do not support a huge advance in gold or silver. And we're starting to see some bullish articles. The reason I mention this in more detail is we've had some questions of people that own coins and things, and if you were looking for a place to sell those and not willing to hold them for a year or two, we would consider doing that in here. Gold just doesn't look like it's going to do much in a year or two, and silver has rallied from a deep oversold, but it's also rallied into resistance. It just may not do much. So With that in mind, we would consider selling those coins. Let's talk about international for a minute before we get Jeff on the call. We've seen some better stuff out of Europe, and again, primarily, speaking of frustration, we've done a fairly good job of predicting all the problems that Deutsche Bank was going to have. The one thing that we predicted that has not happened is any sort of real market effect. While that could come, Europe looks a little bit better to us simply because that hasn't come. However, when we look at the emerging markets ETFs, we still think that those look a little bit better. We saw someone asked about PXH in the chart book. We would be accumulating that here. It's very possible that that still doesn't do much until after a late summer, early fall pullback, but we would be starting to accumulate that here. It is a very nice-looking chart overall, especially on the monthly with sort of a cup-and-handle formation. It's very possible that that takes off. I'm going to just take a quick look at Indy here, which we had been using for our emerging markets exposure. That has started to come off the high. We sold it a bit ago, and we would expect Indy to test at least 35 before it does anything on the downside. Let's see. Is there anything else we want to look at? Oh, yeah. We've had some questions on the dollar this morning, including from my good friend Cam Huey, who publishes Humble Students of the Market, asking if the dollar is a cup and handle, and the answer to us is yes. The dollar index is a cup and handle. A move above 98 or above 27 on the dollar index or UUP would suggest a fairly decent shot at a fairly strong advance. And we're close to that. We sort of crept up there without really noticing it. Above 98, 98.50 would be fairly significant and could move the dollar way up. And along with that, let's take a quick look at FXE. That came down into the 106 area we thought it would. A number of you have talked to me about buying euros. Get to me offline. I'll talk to you about my traveler's check deal on euros offline. Most people on the call probably aren't interested in that. And but this is a good spot to add some euros. But again, if you're really going to Europe, you want to have a good, solid ATM card. You get the interbank rate with ATM cards. Just make sure there's no big foreign transaction fees or anything like that. Most of you guys on the call work for brokerage firms and have CMAs or FMAs. Most of those ATMs don't have a foreign currency transaction fee, but you should ask your sales assistant to find out. With that, I'm going to pass the call over to Jeff Garbaz and see if Jeff has any questions. There just haven't been a lot of changes here. We'll see what Jeff has to say. Jeff?
Hey, Fred. How are you?
I'm fine. My leg is feeling better, Jeff, but still not 100%.
There you go. You'll get there.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's my first question for you. IWM yesterday, that's a big-ass white candle.
Yes.
Does that mean there's more to go? And also, if we don't get follow-on to that, what does that mean, too?
Well, Jeff, I think that what that's saying is if the market corrects, that is setting us up for relative strength on IWM. If the market gets a correction, a sharp drop after the Fed meeting. The only thing now that would say that this is not particularly appealing is a move on IWM, say, to 152 from here, taking out the lows of this little consolidation. I think that what you're seeing, Jeff, and again, we'll just have to see, but what I think the market is trying to tell us here is that recession fears are actually abating. And that's good for small cap and large cap. And again, I come back to that adage, which we've mentioned a couple times on the call, but which is worth mentioning again, is there's an old sort of stock market adage that says that the stock market has predicted 9 of the last 3 recessions. And that may very well be what's been going on here. A lot of people have been expecting a recession. My old friend and colleague David Rosenberg has apparently said we're already in one. But I haven't seen that, but I've heard that from some other people. And I just don't see it in terms of the economic numbers I look at. And that's what I think is actually going to turn into the prevailing view going forward, is that we've been in a soft patch, but the economy is actually going along okay. So that means small caps should do better and the transports should do better.
So yesterday was kind of like the highest close on the Russell since the low at the end of May, beginning of June. So that's definitely a plus, correct? Does that give us a good chance to...
That is a definite plus, yeah.
Okay. It gives us a chance to maybe take out the high for the year, kind of at the end of April, beginning of May?
Yes, I think it does.
A decent possibility?
Yeah.
And that would probably shock a lot of people, too, because no one's kind of expecting it, right?
Well, not only, Jeff, I think that no one's expecting it, but I also... I don't know about your hedge fund clientele, but a lot of the advisors I call are on vacation now. Not a lot of people are around. So
yeah, that'll end in a couple weeks because of how's...
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
It'll end in a couple weeks earlier than typically because
most
of the schools off of the East Coast, you know, start school the beginning part of the first half of August. So people are going to be going back to school sooner than later. And looking at Dorsey Sector Momentum ETFs, the one that there's only really one right now that looks really good, and I want you to weigh in on it, is PYZ, which is their basic materials momentum ETF. I want to see what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, we actually talked about materials in the midweek. Those may really be perking up, and PYZ, I should have probably put that in the midweek. But that's looking and trading extremely well, and I think it has more upside. Let me give a little history here for some of the new people on the call and new subscribers. For a lot of last year, we had a nice overweight position and were fairly positive on materials because the accumulation model looked so good. Now we're in the position where materials charts are starting to perk up, and the accumulation model still looks really good. Now, for those of you who are new and for those of you who just want a little bit of a refresher, realize that the accumulation model is a condition indicator. It says nothing about timing. But it says that eventually when materials do something, it's going to be on the upside. And we think that they're actually starting to do something. That's an area where we may look to overweight in the next sector review in August. But certainly if you're looking around for ideas and you have solid one-rated stocks that you're looking at, materials is a sector that might be a real sleeper that may turn into a leader in the next year.
Okay, great. Moving on, so look at XLU. It looks like utilities are kind of starting to roll over here a little bit on both the daily and now even the weekly. Would you go to an equal weight from like an overweight on those if you had a lot of utilities, which clearly have been great so far this year?
Yeah, I would. The weekly stochastic is starting to turn down. And again, if utilities are doing well because they're defensive, because we're going to go into a recession and those types of fears abate, utilities may not do as well as some other stuff after a pullback in the first part of August. We would be starting to sell on those.
Yeah, and the same thing on IYR too, correct? Like, which is the real estate ETF. As well.
You know, Jeff, like the only thing I would say on IYR is I want to see what happens when the weekly stochastic recycles. The accumulation model on IYR is actually the very best one we have right now. And that is coming out of a two-year base. So I would be a little bit less eager to sell those as opposed to selling some of the utilities. which don't have a really good accumulation model, by the way.
What do you think about the chart of, going back to utilities for a second, if like we've got people that want to do some hedging type stuff, SDP, which is a ProShares ultra short ETF, that chart looks pretty appealing to me.
SDP,
Sam Dogpaul. Yeah.
Very good, because I had the wrong symbol, SDP. Ultra short utilities, yeah. Jeff, if people are allowed to do that, that might be a good way to hedge.
Okay, so what if the Fed is really caught here, and like we got some good numbers on the economy, and that's why right now we got, you know, rates kind of popping up here, and the price coming down a little bit. Could we be in a situation if rates go up, start going up, and actually stocks kind of struggle off of that, where we could have basically multiple asset classes just not working? We haven't been in that situation in a long time. I mean, what's happened is when we've had the corrections like we started having since 18, the January, February down move, the kind of the June thing, and then the October through the end of year, and then what we got in this May, all those were driven by rates actually doing really well during those time periods. What if we get into a situation where basically nothing works? Is that have you considered that as a possibility?
Jeff, I have. I guess what I think, again, it looks to me like we're going to get a push up in rates, not a big one, after the Fed move. Okay. Now, I have to, and again, Jeff, you're a better Fed watcher than I am, but one of the things, you know, it would seem to me that if the Fed cuts rates less than expected or not at all, or says something along the lines of, you know, this is a token rate cut, we're not going to cut them again for years until the economy says we have to because the economy is really strong, that will push up rates. It may push the market down a little bit because people are in the wrong stuff, but ultimately I think that's going to have to be good for small cap especially, but the market in general.
Interesting. So kind of related to that, like I think I'm going to try and figure out a way to do this off of Bloomberg for you. The Citi economic surprise stuff kind of bottomed in June, and now it kind of moved up, and now it's kind of moving back down a little bit. So it's definitely doing like a little bit of a struggle, but nothing like enormous. It just may be tough to get like this whole recession thing like David Rosenberg is talking about and other people, and we might just muddle along, but enough that it would actually cause bonds to go up in yield. I think that would be the thing that the market isn't anticipating right now. I mean, I heard someone say, Fred, that we're going to 1%, like very matter-of-factly, like rates are going to 1%, and we just may be in a really weird situation where the rest of the world has negative rates and we don't. And that's just the reality of us being stronger than people.
Yeah, and, you know, we have some bigger deficits. But, Jeff, again, you know, we're hearing, I mean, I don't want to be cynical, but we're hearing that rates are going to go to 1% after a move from 114 to 130 to 134 on TLT. Now, if we heard at 114 on TLT that rates were going to go from where they were to 1%, I'd be inclined to listen a little bit more, right?
Exactly.
It's sort of like, you know, one of the signals that I'm waiting for to say we want to get some shorts on before the Fed meeting is I want a couple of nice big articles saying that the Fed's going to spark a melt-up. I don't know whether, Jeff, you've noticed this, but every time we start to hear about the melt-up, we get a correction.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We've been hearing it. Because I do a fair amount of reading, as you know.
Yeah.
There's been a fair amount of stuff written about the Fed causing all these recent IPOs to kind of lather up. And, Fred, there's a really interesting article out there, and we should probably put it in the weekend piece, that I got last Saturday morning from one of our hedge fund clients that was written by Josh Brown, who's on CNBC all the time. And it basically looked at the concept of growth versus value from the standpoint of looking at book value, what are tangible assets that companies have paid for versus intellectual property and non-tangible assets, which a lot of these new IPOs are coming at. And the whole theory that cost of capital is going to basically stay low forever. And so the net result is that value is never going to perform again, which I kind of laugh at, because when I hear the idea that value will never, ever, ever perform again, that's almost like the time to buy it when it's, you know, been struggling.
Yeah, Jeff, I would like to put that in. Why don't we use that for the chart of interest section in this weekend report? Just we'll put a link to that article in for people. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yep. I got a couple tech names, but I'm going to wait until the end.
Let's have
and I'll
some
come
questions,
back on,
Jeff. We're going on a little bit here. Questions from the field.
Hey, Fred. This is Edwin Wingart from Greenville, South Carolina.
Edwin, it's great to hear your voice. Michael Laura, I'm sure, says hello. I'm going to be seeing him later.
Oh, tell him I said hi. He doesn't cover us anymore, so hope he's doing fine.
He's doing great. He's actually turned into an advisor and is real happy.
Oh, good. I think he would. I think he could do a good job at that. So
I think he's doing. He seems to be doing well. But your question. We'll shoot the shit later. Question.
Great. Sure. So two questions. The first one's broad. I missed the first 2 minutes having trouble logging in for some reason. But if the SPY on the weekly time frame puts a sell signal on the STOW, and we're not anywhere near that yet because it's in the 90s. But if the SPY puts in a sell signal on the STOW sometime in the next month or two, would you use that as a reason to trim or back to some of your comments I did hear, which were after some softening, we expect strengthening. So would you get cute and try to trim, not knowing like May was a 7% pullback? Or would you say, hey, just kind of muscle through it because, you know, we expect higher highs ahead? That's the first one.
I would say we do expect some higher highs ahead. What I've done here is recommend that if there's anything that you're not real happy with, trim it, and certainly trim some of your weaker large cap stocks. And we should get a pullback after the Fed meeting. The other thing that Jeff and I were talking about that you probably heard is if the economic news is such that the economy looks better, you're going to want to put some of that weaker large cap money into small cap. In other words, I want to have some money to put into small cap if that starts to work. You see what I'm
saying?
Gotcha.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
And
so
I'll give you an example of what I did in my own account. Yeah, I had a stock. I'll tell you what it was. It was BX, which we had recommended in the sector review as well. I ended up with a 48% long-term capital gain, and the reason I had it was that they were going to go to a C-Corp from being a partnership C-Corp, I think it was. Whatever it was, they did that. The stock popped, and I wanted to raise some cash, so I basically sold that. But the technical indicators look much better up here than we thought they were going to look when we got here.
Yeah. So that leads me to kind of second point, which is I've been overweighting asset classes and sectors based on a relative price momentum on a weekly basis that I do. Sounds like rocket science, but it's basically just a ratio of one asset class to another or one sector to another. And I am heavily overweight U.S. versus international, and I'm also overweight growth in tech versus all the rest of it. And so when I look at what's doing well right now, I mean, tech is really blowing the doors off things. People aren't talking about it, but if you look at the SOX, it's up 40% year to date and 11% this month, and broader tech's doing just fine as well. When you look at maybe, you know, financials, healthcare, well, financials okay, but healthcare, biotech, energy, you know, they're languishing, and then you've got a bunch of stuff in the middle. Financials is having a fine year in industrial. So, but regardless, I'm overweight, you know, really growth in tech, which is where the action's been. That's where you're getting your outperformance. And so with numbers like that, right, the semis up 40, software up 38, tech overall up 35 year to date, and maybe 8 to 10% in a month, 6 to 10% in a month. Like, do you worry that on a pullback, you're going to have to trim that because you're going to get the same beta down, the same, you know, action to the downside, underperformance, right?
Yeah. I think
and what do you think about those languishing sectors, right? What do you do? I mean, really, the market's a little narrower than
people.
Back to your materials thought. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Again, you know, just a basic sort of investment question. I mean, in an ideal world, we'd all be taking long-term capital gains when we took gains, right?
Right.
One way to do that is to buy stuff that's in long bases and hope it sits there in the base for a year or two without moving, and then you get a big move and you take the long-term gain. The problem is that's a recipe for short-term market underperformance, and a lot of clients don't like that, so we can't do that. I realize that. But with my accumulation models where they are on materials and industrials and financials, you know, it seems to me that those are going to be some of the next places that money really goes. And I would be starting to put money in those areas for you and taking money off the table if you've got 40, 50% gains and stuff. You know, I don't think
right.
you do the whole thing tomorrow, but I think you sort of adopt that mindset and look at what you're doing and just say, okay, I'm going to start to add to these and build positions in them.
That's great. Okay, that's real helpful. Thank
sure.
you very much, Fred.
Good to talk to you.
Nice talking with
other
you.
Other questions? Yeah, other questions?
Yeah, Fred, Joe, and Pepper Pike.
Hey, Joe, how are you?
Doing well, and yeah, hopefully you too.
Yes,
a couple of quick ones. UPS, the big delivery company, what does that look like to you?
Well, today is obviously, you know, this week has been a strong week coming off this bottom, and it looks like it's coming off the bottom. Did it have good earnings?
Good numbers, yes.
Yeah, I don't see on a long-term basis, since you're doing this type of action coming out of a base, you're at a little bit of resistance, but I think this has got more to go, and you could see 126 on it at least.
Gotcha.
Hey, Brad, Jeff, just real quickly, Merrill upgraded it this morning to a buy.
Ah, okay.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
Thank you. That's good
yeah,
to know.
Yeah, a company called Gentex. Symbol is GNTX. Golf November Tango X-Ray.
Right, okay. That is also starting to come out of a weekly base. Let me look at the monthly. Yeah, that's coming out of a nice uptrend, and it looks like it's got more to go. Even though it's a little overbought, that is probably safe to buy here.
And one more thought, the XLF. What's
you know,
thought about
I
that?
Like that. I'm overweight that in the sector review, and I think you've got a chance of getting that to a new high. We may see some pullback action first, but if I'm right and the Fed doesn't lower rates dramatically, XLF should probably start to do fairly well.
Gotcha.
It's already
Thanks
doing
so
okay,
much.
But that could turn into a nice sector in the second half.
Great. Thank you.
Certainly. Other questions?
Hey, Fred.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Fred.
Yes.
Brian Olson in Southlake.
Brian, how are you?
On the subject of XLF, I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Good.
On the subject of XLF, I'm just wondered, would you compare that to IYG as far as what financial ETF you might be more interested in?
IYG looks a little bit better than XLF, but not much. I could do either and feel comfortable.
Okay.
But
all right, thank you.
IYG looks a little tiny, weeny bit more attractive.
Okay. Thank you.
Good enough. Other questions? Very good. Jeff, do you have one more for us before
Brad,
we start? Oh, sure, Nancy. Hi.
Brad, I have a question. And hi, how are you? I'm thinking of taking profits in TMUS, T-Mobile. What do you think?
You know, it's just going in the S&P 500. That's usually a fair time, if you've been in it for a while, to take some profits.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah. It does look like the Sprint deal is going to go through. All I can say about that is that's going to probably be a little harder for T-Mobile to digest than they think.
Right.
Certainly harder than Metro. But, you know, we'll have to see how that goes. But, you know, that's probably going to lead to a period of underperformance in the stock, I think, while they digest that.
Question two, where would you trim back Google, G-O-O-G-L?
Let me look at it because I have a number in mind and I want to. You know, I'm still looking at the stock having the possibility of getting to 1,200 now. Could this make it back to, say, 1,100 or 1,090 if the market has a sharp pullback? Nancy, I think it could. But selling it and
it's
then
not
trying
much
to
of a
buy
percentage
it back there
chain.
Would be hard.
Yeah.
Sorry? Yeah, I'm not
yeah.
sure I'd do that.
No. Do you think it would just it'll just underperform in here for a while?
I think it's possible, yeah. You know, what we're seeing in tech okay. is stuff like RNG is doing better than Apple and Google, and people aren't really talking about it, and it's actually a big plus for tech that that's happening. But it also means that Apple and Google may very well underperform for a bit.
Great, thank you. Have a great weekend.
You too. Enjoy your weekend.
Fred?
Hey, Yogesh. How are you?
Good, good, good. A lot of good discussion between you and Jeff and all these questions. Few more questions. The,
sure.
The first speaker, the first person who asked you the question, asked you about the technology-related investments and what should we do. I didn't get a complete picture because I had somebody walk in and I couldn't hear the end of that part. The second question, the Apple is doing so well and technically it looks like it can go much higher from here. But without a companies like Apple or FANG stocks, cannot be a large correction, right? I mean, the correction may occur, but if those stocks are not correcting, the index may have a very little impact.
I think that's right, Yogesh. You know, I was looking initially for this correction to possibly be to 260, 265 on the spider. And now,
right.
Yogesh, it wouldn't surprise me if it was 285 to 280. That's why we put in the midweek if you're trying to short this thing. And we're not recommending that. Only the most nimble people that really love shorting stuff should do that. In my view, but if you do that, when the spider gets to 290, you raise your stops to break even so you don't get nailed on the upside. I think this is looking – the market honestly is looking better. I can't wait to do the monthly indicators at the end of the month, and based on my analysis, the month is close to ending. But it looks like preliminary numbers say that we're still – seeing improvement in longer-term breadth and longer-term new highs, new lows. And that when you're seeing that, Yogesh, even if you're short-term overbought, as you say, you do not get a huge, steep, nasty correction.
And the second question related with the gold, you mentioned the gold and silver and oil, they might have a limitations here. The what about the gold stocks and oil stocks? They all will follow the gold and silver and oil, or they will have a separate valuation because they're quite undervalued compared to the gold price?
You know, Yogesh, I have to look at the charts and say that gold stocks are probably going to do well and outperform the energy stocks. And the energy stocks, Yogesh, I'm underweight those. I'm surprised at how badly XLE has done in this summer rally. I mean, I really am. I thought this was going to do much better. I mean, if you look at this last sector review, I was saying things like, golly, I'm underweight these, but they sure look like they're going to go, but they'll still probably underperform. So we're going to keep the underweight, but I'm not real happy. Thank God I did that because they haven't done diddly. So I would be very happy keeping the gold stocks. I'd be very happy keeping stuff like Chevron that's a really good chart, or maybe PSX, which is a good chart, relative. But stuff like Oxy and Marathon that's trading pretty badly, I just don't think I would keep those here. That would be an area where I'd be looking to sell.
But Andrew, Fred, one more question. I will ask a question like Jeff would ask. If the oil stocks are not doing well or likely not to do well, that is why the interest rate is low in anticipation. There is no inflation. And if without, ultimately, is that the economy is much slower than anybody's thinking? There are a lot of consequences of all of misbehavior, right?
Yeah, Yogesh, I think the oil stocks are dependent more on the price of oil for their earnings rather than the strength of the economy here, is my guess. But again, I'm guessing. And it just doesn't seem, looking at economic numbers that I see, that the economy is really weak here. You know, I mean, certainly...
The economy is weak. Then why the earnings can keep the earnings forecast is still quite rosy, isn't it? Something is not right. I would love to hear from Jeff also about this situation, because something is not adding up.
Right.
I understand that the lower interest rate can boost the growth stocks for a little longer, but overall, if economy is not strong, earnings are still coming out to be better than most people expected, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And Jeff would be interesting to hear on this. Yogesh, don't they really start slashing earnings expectations in the third quarter?
They do,
right?
But still, if you look at but if you still look at the overall, the earnings that is coming out, it's better than most people are expecting. That is why we still have the rally is taking place, because the earnings are still coming out to be better, right?
Jeff, do you have anything to say about that in earnings?
Yeah, I do. So here's what's interesting is last quarter the estimate was for like a loss year over year of like 4% in earnings, and it ended up being, I'm not going to give exact numbers, I can get those, but I think it was a loss of like 60 basis points or something. And this quarter it's like a similar type of number. So this would be two consecutive quarters of negative growth. What's more important to me is you look at the number of companies that warned ahead in the S&P 500. It's over 90 now, and that's the highest number since the second quarter of 2006. And what's so interesting about that is, so obviously we're reporting Q2 earnings right now. If you go back to 2006 and you look at the second half of 2006, the S&P rose by 11.6%. So it could be a case of where, like, we're just getting mixed numbers. I mean, there are some, I mean, look, this morning, some of the numbers were pretty good. We're getting, like, you know, some hot, some warm, some cold numbers. And the takeaway is that it's kind of more warm. And it's just hard to get out of, like, this 2% thing that we've been stuck in forever. So the net takeaway is, for people that think that the market's going to get crushed from here, that may be a very tough thing to happen based on the other history of the last time. And look, companies have an incentive to like do a guide lower, especially if they want to buy back stock. What's a better thing to do if you're a company than to give a guide, let your stock drop 20%, buy the shares, and then beat it the next time, and then it goes to a new high. So I think there's a lot of gamesmanship that goes on by companies as well. So that's my takeaway.
Yeah, and Jeff, the other thing that I wanted to just ask you and even Yogesh to comment on, or anyone on the call. You know, you hear a lot about the comparisons, but the comparisons that are slightly worse than some very good earnings that we had because of the tax stuff aren't necessarily bad earnings, are they? They're just bad comparisons.
Well, Fred, just remember the most important thing, the only thing that matters is the second derivative from a standpoint of what the fundamental analysts do. They just look at change on chain. That's all they care about.
Yeah.
So that's the whole gamesmanship of earnings for the most part. That's just the reality of the situation. And by the way, so now this is our second quarter in a row of struggling, right? That sets up for an easier next year potentially, especially if you get some improvement on stuff. And look, now the budget thing's done with. The one thing they haven't dealt with at all is infrastructure. And
right.
Look, they're probably going to hold it till after the election, but God
yeah.
forbid we start to get infrastructure. And the last time I checked, and anyone who's been driving, we can probably verify this, I'm seeing construction all over the place.
Jeff,
like
I can't
everywhere,
even
basically.
Drive on 285 at night anymore. It's such a hassle and there's so many trucks. You're absolutely right. The construction is definitely there.
Hey, Fred, this is Edwin. I unmuted.
Hey, Edwin.
Can you hear me?
How are you?
Great. I'm just to add some information here for Yogesh and others. So FactSet Earnings Insight, you can subscribe to it. It comes out weekly. They put out a report that's pretty handy that I try to look at every week about earnings and stuff. So as of last week, right, revenue, well, let's start with earnings. Earnings are supposed to dip slightly for Q2. However, revenues for Q2 are up 3.8% for the S&P 500, right? So you've got a margin issue there. They then break it down and they say, okay, earnings are down slightly for the S&P, but for those companies that derive more than 50% of their revenue in the U.S., their earnings are going to grow 2.7%. And if your earnings, 50% of your earnings derived internationally, they're down 10.8. So that gives you a clue that the problem is more non-U.S. than U.S. And when you look at revenues, for companies who derive greater than 50% of their revenues from the U.S., their revenues this quarter, last quarter, Q2, are up 6.2% versus revenues for companies that derive it from overseas, 50% from overseas, are down 2.2. So when we talk about the economy is slowing, well, that's true. It's slower. But do we have a problem? Well, I don't know if we have a problem, but you still have 6% revenue growth in Q2, and you have 2.7% earnings growth in Q2 for those companies that get more than 50% of their revenue and earnings domestically. And so then you've got to further peel back the onion to try to figure out why are companies with revenues overseas, how much of that's FX versus other issues. And by the way, kind of tying the whole thing back to my earlier comments, the sector that at least leads the decline in earnings for Q2 is actually tech number two and materials number one, which is funny because tech has blown the doors off the returns. So anyway, that's enough of that. But for anybody that's interested, you can subscribe to FactSet Earnings Insight. I mean, I don't get anything for telling you that other than you're going to be better informed. So that's all I wanted to share.
Very good. Thank you.
That was a great information. Only one question, the gentleman, I would like to ask one more question.
Sure.
That the tech earnings are not coming out, and we are going into the cyclical stock, technology being considered as a cyclical stocks. See, why in this picture, if the energy stocks or earnings or energy companies are not coming out, why other cyclical industries are not as much impacted? Any observation?
As far as I'm concerned, Yogesh, now I'm out of my understanding of things, so I'd have to toss it back to Fred and Jeff.
Yeah, and Jeff, on that, I'll come back to you. Yogesh, I'm not the world's greatest expert on earnings. Jeff, do you have any comments on Yogesh's question there?
Yeah, I do. I think I might have mentioned this on the call the other week. The one problem the energy companies have is still supply is still very, very high. And demand is kind of at the same level. And what's interesting is you saw this happen in Berkeley, I believe. It's either Berkeley or Oakland, where they're not letting new construction use natural gas in the development. So in other words, if you're putting up a bunch of condos, no natural gas for either the hot water or for you know, cooking purposes. And the bigger issue with that relates to infrastructure and the pipelines. We need a ton more pipelines to keep delivering natural gas. So that's, there's like an issue related to that. And that's maybe one of the things that's holding the energy stocks, because usually energy is highly, highly correlated to the price of crude, which has been moving higher, but it's not doing it this year. So that's potentially an issue that's going on. In other words, there is the demand, but they've stifled demand and said, we just can't do it because the infrastructure doesn't support it.
Thank you very, very much, guys. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Fred. And thank you, everyone, to the answer. I am sorry to take all of your time, but I thought it would be interesting that for all of us to learn and discuss something. So, sorry.
No, I thought that was a good discussion. And Edwin, obviously, want to thank you as well. You're on top of this stuff. And, you know, he's probably right, that FactSet earnings deal. If people have any questions on that, send them to me, and I'll see if we can't get the way to subscribe to that and put it in the letter for anyone who wants it.
Hey, Fred, so let me ask you about those couple of tech stocks. Unless
sure.
You want to ask anyone else if they got any more questions before I do that?
Other questions? Otherwise, we'll have a couple more from Jeff, and then I've got an 11:30 appointment, Jeff.
Okay, great. So just real quickly, too, on the question that Nancy was asking about TMUS. So one thing to know, Nancy, is that tomorrow Charter is doing their conference call tomorrow morning, and they yesterday came out and said that they have a specific plan to buy certain assets of Sprint and T-Mobile. That's one of the requirements that the DOJ has put on this, that they have to peel off some assets, and that lets Charter compete in the cellular business. So watch for that tomorrow to move those stocks. That's kind of like a key thing to pay attention to when Charter does their announcement. And they literally yesterday said they have a specific plan in place so that they can acquire those assets. Fred, the other thing before I do the tech stocks is on UPS. I was just looking at the chart of FedEx. The chart of FedEx looks a lot better to me. In other words, it hasn't had the appreciation yet, but it's making the same type of formation as UPS. Would you be more a fan of FedEx at this point versus UPS, or
if I were going to speculate on earnings, FedEx would be an interesting speculation. I don't know if they've come, but people are down on FedEx because they've announced they're not going to renew their contract with Amazon. If you really look at those numbers, as a friend of mine did, they're delivering 2% of Amazon. So the temptation is to say BFD. The earnings may be good after that Amazon announcement, and that could pop the stock. So I certainly wouldn't be adverse to adding FedEx here.
Okay, great. Okay, so here are the tech stocks to look at. First, Oracle, ORCL.
ORCL. Let me get an L in there. Otherwise, I've got an orc. Daily chart has just recycled and looks like it should be up a little bit. And the weekly is a high-level consolidation, so this should go up a little bit more, I would think, Jeff. It's certainly not bad.
Okay, ADSK.
ADSK, which we had for a long time. That's got a weekly stochastic that's basically okay and a daily that has recycled enough that you might get some pop. That's
okay.
Less attractive than the Oracle, though.
Hey, so on Autodesk, can you also look at XHB? Because a lot of what they do is building software. And so obviously if the home builders are doing good, then Autodesk should get the benefit of that too.
Yeah, and that actually looks a little bit more interesting to me than Autodesk does. And again, on a correction, Jeff, XHB might actually head for 39, and I'd certainly look at buying it there.
Okay. Now, NOW.
NOW. Jeff, that looks a little bit risky short term. But a pullback to 268 $208 to $271 would be buyable for me if the stochastic recycles on that.
Okay. And then the last, let's two more. PFPT, Paul, Frank, Paul, Tom.
Thank you. That looks like it's a consolidation. They could be getting ready to do something on the upside a little more. It is slightly overbought, but you should see that. That would be a good trader and possibly up to 133. 131
okay.
to 133.
And then WDAY.
I like the looks of that weekly chart. It's starting to show a little bit of the potential for a pullback. But, Jeff, if that were to pull back to 203, 204, I'd be all over that.
Okay. That's it for me.
Cool. Any other questions? Going once? Going twice? Thanks to everybody that added on the call, and we'll see everybody next week.